Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
There's one guy within the Broncos that has got a lot of praise coming his way in the last year and a half. But is the shine coming off a little bit? To discuss this, amongst other things, our friend James Merrillet from DenverFan.com. James, I'm talking about George Payton.
Okay.
And we were going to have this conversation anyway, but I saw that you had a piece on DenverFan.com. Admittedly, I didn't get to it yet. Look forward to reading it. But if you don't mind, for other people like me who didn't read it, I want to see if your thoughts and my thoughts are maybe syncing up here.
Yeah, it was just interesting, and it hit me watching the game on Sunday that a lot of the decisions George Payton made kind of came back to bite the Broncos, right? It was, hey, we're not going to address middle linebacker. We're fine with Josie Jewell and Jonas Griffith, right? Couldn't stop the run. They were constantly chasing people in pass coverage. It just looked the same as it's looked in years past. Didn't address right tackle other than Billy Turner, who once again isn't practicing today, which I know will shock everybody.
Practicing at all?
Nope, off on the rehab field.
Wow.
So that was a position that once again they decided not to address for the second straight year in the draft or free agency. Their right side of their line is dreadful.
It's very bad.
If they try to run that way, it doesn't go anywhere, and it's a bit of a turnstile in pass protection, so that bit him. He's the one that, after interviewing 10 candidates, decided to go with Nathaniel Hackett, and the inexperienced coaching staff that came along with Nathaniel Hackett. It's just kind of one thing after another that sort of piled up of like, boy, these issues are hitting the Broncos, and they were George Payton decisions, and he's kind of gotten a free pass. He's been given the, hey, he's a great drafter. All right, well, who from his class this year did anything? Nick Benito didn't do anything. Greg Dulcich is yet to see the field. Montrell Washington had a good game.
He had a great game.
He had a good game. It's not like he took a couple to the house or anything.
Yeah, you're right. But I guess for what we've seen around here, that's a special game.
Yeah. True.
It was a special game.
It's all relative, but right. Yeah. But other than that, like, okay. I mean, he hit on Pat Surtain. That's the number 9 overall pick. You should hit on top 10 picks when you're a GM.
Well, just to be fair, the Broncos didn't have a first-round pick. And among players who are going to instantly contribute on a team that you hope is going to be a winner.
We just got to take time on all these drafts and see what it looks like. But here's my issue with some of what you've said.
Okay.
And you missed
the big one, by the way.
And I haven't
missed
crowned
two big ones, maybe.
George Payton yet. We're going to wait to see how these drafts play out and everything plays out. We don't know. They could go on and win the Super Bowl this year. We'd look at it differently, right? So it needs a playoff. But you're right now on Nathaniel Hackett. That's really on George. I mean, that's a George
100%
Payton hire, and it hasn't aged well. But we're 4 games into this thing. Let's see how that plays out. But I'm gonna give you pushback on you. Okay, what you have to realize, James, is you can't solve every issue in the NFL. You know, you can't be like we got Lavonte David and who's the other guy? David and the two inside linebackers for the Bucks.
Devin White.
Yes, Devin White. It's like you can't have those. You can't have Orlando Pace playing right tackle for you. You know, we tried to do some stuff at right tackle before. Menelik Watson, pay this guy, go draft this guy. They just haven't worked. And so sometimes there's not what right tackle was available that we could go get and it would solve our issues. So I just think sometimes you got what you got. And you just hope that it works. And defensively, they were been pretty good for the first 3 weeks.
They had been, but Sunday they looked just like they had the previous 3 years. They couldn't get the opposing team off the field, especially at the end of a game when their offense got them back into the game.
This isn't a Ravens 2000 defense.
It was the same old, same old. And it was, I think for most people in Broncos country, it was frustrating to watch because, as Andrew Mason called it, it looked like year 4 of Vic Fangio. That's what Sunday against the Raiders looked like. And the first 3 weeks looked like, hey, maybe this is different, particularly on defense, getting after the quarterback, forcing turnovers, getting the opposing team off the field late in games. They couldn't do it on Sunday, and it just felt like, man. And I'm with you, can't solve all problems at once, but he's been here now for 2 drafts and 2 free agency classes. So some of these problems that were here when he got here, and he's chosen to ignore it, or them, that's on him. So I'm curious as the big ones, and maybe that I missed, maybe I had him in my column, maybe I didn't, but I'm curious to hear what your criticisms are of him, Zach.
Yeah, well, and they're not even really criticism. Well, one's a question. One's a criticism and one's a question. He should have never brought back Melvin Gordon.
Agreed.
That was definitively a mistake. And it has cost the Denver Broncos football games already. And the whole conversation is just very disjointed because Melvin Gordon's presence here. So I thought that was a mistake. And then also the biggest of them all, the Russell Wilson mega trade, biggest trade in franchise history, and then turning around and giving a mega deal, second highest paid player in the league. Russell Wilson has not looked like that caliber of player. And I'm not saying, again, it's four games into Stokely's point, but it has looked below expectation. And I'm not going to reduce it all down to stats, because stats can be deceiving. You can twist, you know, completion percentage, and there can be context, or yards, and there's context. But I will reference QBR, and QBR is a formula that takes everything into account. Like, you drop my pass, that comes into account, where in traditional quarterback rating, right, it just doesn't. Russell Wilson's got the 21st ranked quarterback, a QBR, in the NFL out of 32. It just hasn't looked up to expectation. So that's not a criticism. It's a question for me moving forward.
I think you're right, and I mentioned both of those, and I'm with you on the Melvin Gordon thing. And I get pigeonholed as a Melvin Gordon fan.
You love him.
I wanted the Broncos in the offseason to make Javonte Williams the feature back, the workhorse, and let's see what he can do. I wanted to see him in that role.
I did not want to bring back Melvin Gordon. Melvin was the better
player. Yes.
Right now. And you bring back Melvin Gordon, and he is the better player.
He's not the better player.
And it created a problem.
He's still not the better player.
No, it's like someone who's trying to middle an over-under. I'm on this side and this side.
I tried that.
Here's the issue.
It's a terrible way to watch a game.
Here's my issue with George Payton and what they did with Melvin Gordon. Part of it was I wanted to see what Javonte could do. I did. I was curious. Maybe even a little skeptical, because he didn't do it at North Carolina in college, and didn't do it here last year as a rookie. So I wanted to see it. I wanted to
do what as a rookie?
Be the guy that you're the every down cow. Back.
Okay, well he did. He wasn't given that opportunity. It was like 900 yards out of the game, averaged like 5 yards a carry, and just led the league in broken tackles.
He didn't do it. I mean, he had 15 less yards than Melvin on the exact same number of carries. But okay, so anyhow. So I wanted to see it.
Oh my gosh.
So I wanted to see it. My biggest issue with Melvin Gordon, though, bringing him back, was you're asking him to do something that he's not comfortable doing. So at some point, that is on the general manager and the head coach. He is not used to being the guy that stands on the sideline for 70 minutes of real time. Kickoff of that game was 2:25. He fumbled at 3:35. So at 70 minutes, he stood on the sideline doing nothing and then had to go in the game totally cold, run the football. He's fighting for yards because he's trying to make an impression and trying to get more carries. It's not what he's used to doing. So to some extent, is it on Melvin for fumbling? Of course it is. And that was the first of the four, the first one of the year that was egregious, and that was ridiculous. But it's also on the people who put him in a position to do something he's not used to doing.
But James, he fumbled at the number one rate in the league when he was the starter.
Well, he had three last year as the starter, and Javonte Williams had two as the backup.
No one in professional football has fumbled more times in the last 4 years than Melvin Gordon.
And you were making excuses for him last week, James. Andrew Mason, y'all were making excuses for him, and D-Mac, and who else, Mike Evans, and all. Y'all were making so many excuses.
Not all fumbles are created equal.
Washington fumble that should have been a fumble a year ago with Javonte, and then, you know, they should have blown this play dead. And then now, all of a sudden, everyone's like,
no.
I don't like Melvin. You guys like Melvin? I don't like Melvin. Oh, well, who likes Melvin? No one likes Melvin. Last week, y'all loved Melvin.
You know what? Melvin Gardens is going to go one of two ways on Thursday night. I think it's going to go the way of big game, and it's going to be this redemption story.
It very well could.
And maybe that's just me, you know, putting on my Broncos fan hat and kind of hoping for that story. But, man, that would be cool. Or he's going to fumble in, like, his third carry and get booed out of that building. I mean, it's going to go.
I can't imagine
it'd be
if he
Garrett
puts it
on steroids.
Oh, my gosh.
The hat trick. But I got one thing. Sorry. I want one thing here because I'm going to stick up for this guy.
For Melvin?
No.
I was going to say.
Sticking up for Melvin. I'm going to stick up for Russell Wilson here a little bit. Okay? And, you know, you're talking about the QBR. And I think Russell's been failed a little bit here.
Yeah.
Okay. When you look at Nathaniel Hackett and how he handled preseason, okay, and he went about it very cautiously, and a lot of teams do it. It's not just Nathaniel Hackett coming up with this great thing that he's doing, okay, but he hurt this offense by handling it that way. When you look at how they practiced, I've never seen practice like that. I haven't. Maybe some other teams do that in training camp.
No, not like that.
Right. And he hurt this football team, right, to try to prepare to play football, okay? And so that hurts Russell Wilson. I got to throw some of this on George Payton also. Who's our slot receiver?
Kendall Hinton?
KJ Hamler, who can't stay healthy, yeah. Kendall Hinton, right? I mean, look, and like I told you, James, look, you can't go out there and solve every issue right away, and you're keeping your fingers crossed that it could be KJ Hamler. Who's our tight end? Anybody? Albert O's supposed to be the starter at the start of the season. We're four games into this thing, and he only played one play. One play? 4 games into the season. So, like, Russell doesn't have, you know, those easy completions there. I mean, he just doesn't have those types of things in this offense with an offensive line, and you're learning a new offense. So it's tough right now. And then when you don't have those pieces, I'm not saying you got to have the best of the best out there, but, man, I think Nathaniel Hackett has failed him a little bit, but I also think that George Payton hasn't given him enough tools. And you got Judy, who's, you know, up and down. You got Cortland Sutton, who's been obviously the most consistent. So that's where I'm at right now. So I'm going to step up for Russell a little bit.
I think that's fair. I think if you look at the offense around him, Cortland Sutton, maybe, and we'll see how the year goes on, but it's not like he's surrounded by a bunch of Pro Bowl players, right? That offensive line is
pretty
mediocre at best. I mean, Garrett Bowles has regressed. Dalton Reisner hasn't turned into what anybody expected him to be. Lloyd Cushenberry's fine. The right side, we already talked about, is a bit of a mess. You talked about tight ends, the receiver core. It's like, eh. I mean, it's just not a. It's not as though he's surrounded by an all-star cast. And I think Russell Wilson has had plenty of moments where it looks different than it did in the past. The result isn't very good. 16 points, 16 points, 11 and 23. It's like, geez, that seems really familiar. But the drive he had late to make it 25-23, the throw to KJ Hamler, like, man, those are just plays we haven't seen in the past. We didn't see that out of Trevor and out of Osweiler and, you know, even out of Drew and people like that. So we've certainly seen signs, but has it been good enough? And has it been enough to make you feel like seven years and the money they've got tied up with this guy is going to be a good investment? No,
well,
it doesn't.
Well, it's interesting because in the past, Russell was truly an elevator.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
So,
am I being too easy on him?
No. I don't think. I think it's fair.
Okay.
Because if you were to ask just general football stuff, like what are the hallmarks of a good offense? And you just went through some of them, like, do the Broncos have a good offensive line? It's kind of average. Yeah. Do the Broncos have a good running game? Right now, it's below average by the numbers. I think it's ranked 18th in the league in yards per game.
They have good running backs, but the line plays a part in that.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
Do the Broncos have a good tight end? No. Do the Broncos have a good slot receiver? No. Do the Broncos have a number one? Yeah, but number two is wildly inconsistent. So when you go through it, in the past, when Russell Wilson was a different kind of athlete, he's bailing this group out. And I think that now more than ever before, that things need to be right around Russell.
Why?
Because he's not the same.
Well, for that kind of money, that can't be the situation. I think he looks like he's played himself more and more into shape. He's looked better the last 2 weeks.
He has.
Than he did in the first two games.
That's crazy.
You can't invest $245 million in a guy that has to have a good, great cast around him. He's got to elevate.
Think Russell looks better now, like fair?
Yeah.
I mean, so Russ, he wasn't grinding? He wasn't sweating this offseason?
No,
he didn't,
I tried to tell everybody that the more you post how hard you're working on Instagram, the less I believe you're actually working hard. We've all come across those people in life, right? The guy who tells you how hard he's working usually isn't the hardest working guy at the office. It just
Zach.
Isn't.
I made one comment.
Zach.
I wasn't referring to Zach.
Every day how hard you work
I do not.
Twice a week you do. Twice a week you tell us how much you grind.
No.
Yes, you do. So that kind of goes towards you there, Zach.
Hey, but guess what? You got to perform. You got to perform. This is the National Football League.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, like, I don't think you're sounding crazy. I don't think I'm sounding crazy. But you're saying, you just said a minute ago, like, this is crazy. That's crazy. I don't think it sounds that crazy. Like, our eyes are kind of telling a story with Russell.
Yeah, I think it's just crazy that he's out of shape, if that's what it is. If he is, if all of a sudden we'll see, he needs to thin down a little bit.
I was going to say, did he look thicker than you've ever seen him before?
Yes.
Week one and two?
Yes.
And I think he's looked better the last two games.
Well,
he's moved around better.
I think early on he was making an effort to stay in the pocket. So it's hard for me
partially
to tell because I didn't see him move that much. In the first game, I thought he moved left to right really good. Extended plays against the Seahawks. I mean, I was like so impressed with that week one performance. I came in here and I raised my hand saying I was wrong on what this offense would look like because they hit the ground running and not only one touchdown, but it was a lot better than I thought it would be. And so I don't know if he's just made an effort to stay more in the pocket early on. And now, after you know, he talked about it. He's like, I said, I got to make plays against 49ers.
But he doesn't. Yeah. Like,
I just
like,
got to make plays.
He doesn't have a choice. If he doesn't make the plays that he's making with his legs, this already bad offense would be worse.
Well, yeah, and I do think it's, you know, we look at it and they've changed head coaches, they've changed offensive coordinators, they've changed quarterbacks. We've seen that graphic, you know, multiple times, and you keep getting the same result. At some point, yes, the quarterback is the biggest factor, and yeah, the play caller is a big factor, but at some point, it's all the other guys too. And I think everybody that covers this team, that watches this team, that's a part of this team, has overinflated the talent of guys like Jerry Jeudy, Javonte Williams. I think Javonte Williams is a good player. But is he, you and I, this is our debate, right? Is he a special player? No, I don't think he is. Albert O, oh, he'll be able to fill the role of Noah Fant. Well, four games in, he's playing one snap. Like, guy after guy after guy after guy. And if you miss on that many of them, and think they're going to be stars, and they aren't stars, you end up with an offense that isn't very good.
And here's my question to both of y'all, too. So we're talking about, you know, and I thought it was a good comment. You know, can Russ lift? Russ still should be able to lift the players around him, right? He still should be able to do that, make these guys better. But at a certain point, you know, he isn't Peyton Manning, right? And you know, you made a comment a second ago, and it had me thinking. You're like, okay, you know, do we have a number one receiver? Yeah, we got Courtland Sutton. Is Courtland Sutton, yeah, you can call him a one, but like when you rank him with the ones throughout the NFL, is Courtland Sutton Mike Evans? No, it's not even close.
No.
Is Courtland Sutton
Cooper,
you know,
Kupp, Justin right. Jefferson, bam. A.J. Brown, right. Stephon Diggs, Jalen Waddle.
Right. Right. How many Tyreek Hill? You look at the Dolphins, they got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle to throw to. I mean, that is like speed out of the you-know-what. And, you know, Courtland Sutton's a fine receiver, but he's more of a possession receiver than a get-down-the-football-field, and you know what, I'm going 60 with it. Can he do it? Yes. And he's a good receiver, but he's not upper echelon special like we see week in and week out across the NFL. So, you know, I'm looking at it like, oh, okay, I mean, yeah, Courtland's the number one, especially on our team right now, but he's not a real NFL true top 10
number one. Is he the number one in Miami? Is he the number one in Buffalo? Yeah. Is he the number one in Philly? Is he the number one for the Rams? Is he the number one for Arizona?
Seattle.
How many teams? Less than half the teams in the league.
Arizona, you know, with DeAndre, and he's Vegas. Not playing right now. Vegas, I mean, so.
Dallas.
And how many teams in the league would Kendall Hinton play this many snaps?
Very few.
So, yeah.
And he's been fine, though. And I'm not dumb. Like,
he's been fine, but yeah, there's too right. many guys on this roster who are fine.
Right. I mean, he's not
and
making
at some
a lot
point,
of plays. I mean, he does fine, yeah.
At some point, that's a George Payton thing. And I get it. He's only been on the job for two offseasons.
But
hold on.
You know what the problem is, though? Because we need to unpack it the other way. Jerry Jeudy should be the number one.
Yeah.
Jerry Judy's got the talent to be the one number one, and he's just not.
Well,
and that's a problem.
I mean, you paid Courtland like a number one, right?
You paid him like a number one. But Jerry Jeudy,
where he was drafted,
he profiles to be that guy. And if he is a number one and Courtland Sutton's your number two, well, now you're talking about maybe a top five number two as a wideout.
Yeah, it transforms this offense if Jerry Jeudy lives up to his potential. Like, if you're looking for a quick fix, that's the fix. It's the guy that's already in the room. He just has to play like it. Now, he was much better against the Raiders. He looked good. He had a couple of big plays. He had some moments.
Well, I'll tell you this. That guy he tried to punk in the middle of the game, he did that little, you're too small. That guy dominated that football game after that. Dominated.
Well, that's the other
dominated.
Thing with Jerry Jeudy. He's like, really, dude?
Dominated.
You're gonna talk trash to someone after
go back and
one
watch how
catches?
Physical. What number was he? 21, I think it was?
Yeah, it was the guy that picked up the fumble.
Yeah, and ran into the house
and
had like the five most physical plays. That dude, whoever he is, he dominated that football game after Jeudy clowned him.
Well, he took it personal, and
I went back and watched it. It was
Well, I sent you that video today.
Yes.
And that was something. I mean, that was like, I got a video you can watch. It's hilarious, by the way. It's funny. And it's making fun of Jerry Jeudy for trying to clown this guy. And all of a sudden, this guy, he's like,
he took over the football game.
He's like, I don't know, Ray Lewis out there on defense after that. He's throwing
just
down
a bad
Courtland
idea.
Sutton. Right. Jerry Jeudy, Look, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, you don't need to do this, no. man. I mean, you haven't done enough to be smack talking on a 30-yard catch?
Where the dude fell down.
Right. Like a 30-yard catch? I mean, really, you didn't score a touchdown? Come on. See, this is part of the problem with him. It's like, do you get it? Do you understand it? I'm all about getting fired up. You want to talk a little trash? I get it. But to me, that was a little bit overblown for a guy that hasn't done enough.
Yeah, time and place.
No, and it's one of my issues with this roster. And it's if we go all the way back, right, to the field day conversation. I know people hate to hear about it.
Oh, Lord.
But it's a team that thinks they've done something and they haven't done anything. Right, so it's a team that was already reading their press clippings, and Bradley Chubb telling you we're the best defense in the league, and then you go out there and give up 32 to the 0-3 Raiders. Like, just go out and prove it on the field, and stop talking trash and talking in the media, and you know, giving yourselves nicknames and things like that. It's like, just go out and do it for a season, not for 3 games, or in Jerry Jeudy's case, not for a quarter or a half. Right, like they just
I don't mind like they've been playing well, like that's I don't mind confidence, you know, I don't mind that, but Jeudy's been so inconsistent year in and year out, and you're on year 3 now, and you shouldn't be talking any smack. It's but like if you feel good, like, hey, no, we're a great defense, let's go, or you want to give yourself nicknames, I don't care
it's
about
the,
that.
It's the Rocky starting 9-3, dubbing their defense Coors Shield, and then they're below 500 by the time Memorial Day
rolls
around.
Did that happen?
Yeah, like 4 or 5 years ago. It's like, can we not give ourselves nicknames, guys?
That must have been longer. I would have remembered that.
I don't remember that either.
I'll go back in the old Twitter search and find when it was.
That is funny. Coors
it angered
Shield.
Me at the time, and I'm still mad about it.
Oh, my gosh. Amik Robertson is that dude's name for the Raiders. He's from Thibodeau, Louisiana. Played at La Tech. He was flying around.
I mean, did you see when he got that fumble? He looked like a running back.
Yep.
He was like, it was unbelievable. I mean, like, oh, wow. And he started hitting. But you woke up a sleeping giant, you know? Like, you know, those guys.
Yeah, don't poke the bear.
Right. Those guys are pros. And all of a sudden, this guy was playing with a chip. You see him go up against Cortland Sutton trying to block him on a bubble screen.
Oh, my gosh.
And to Jerry Jeudy. And he just threw Cortland Sutton down and went and made the tackle. He destroyed Jeudy on another play.
Destroyed him.
I mean, this guy was all over the football field. But this stuff happens, like, you know, you haven't done anything this year. You didn't do anything last year. And you make one catch when a guy, like you said, Zach, falls down and you're giving him the too small.
It's a lack of self-awareness.
In a big way.
And it's not just Jerry Jeudy. It's a lot of guys on this team that haven't accomplished anything. Brandon McManus, Russell Wilson, about the only guys on this team really who've accomplished anything. And they walk around and act like they have. And that's bothersome to me.
The press conference is going to get started any second now. We're going to hear from Nathaniel Hackett. We're going to hear from some coordinators. We're going to hear from Russell Wilson. What is Russell Wilson saying on a day like today ahead of primetime? The Broncos have to win this game. I'll just say that. I mean, on a short week, the Colts are as badly injured as the Broncos are. I don't think Jonathan Taylor is going to play.
He said he's going to try to play. So
if they lose, I'm
not expecting him to play, though. And if he does, I don't think he makes it through the game.
If they lose, they'll be 2-3 heading into a Monday night game against the Chargers. Does that sound like 10 years ago?
On the road, right?
Yeah, but that's exactly what happened 10 years ago. Everybody wants to tell me how it's just like Peyton Manning's first year.
Oh, starting 2-3 and then being on Monday night against
the Chargers. Monday
Night Football.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't realize that.
It will be exactly the same scenario. Now, I do think Thursday night's huge. I think it's kind of the first crisis moment that Nathaniel Hackett has faced of, boy, if you lose that one, this thing has a chance to unravel. If you win it, you got 11 days of everybody feeling pretty good.
Yeah. You should win it. You're playing the Colts. You're a bad, bad football team. You talk about issues. They've got issues right now. This is a game that you should win, and if you don't, shame on
you. Jonathan Taylor didn't practice today, and he was in a walking boot on the sideline.
Yeah.
Wow.
So even if he goes,
you gotta win.
You're not facing Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, my God.
You got to win.
100%.
This is a sprinkle on a parlay, this game.
I love it. Let's go live to the podium. Nathaniel Hackett.
Devontae's been put on IR. Quinn did not participate. Randy's been put on IR. Jonathan, PJ, and Aaron did not participate. Caden, Tyree, Russell, Billy, Darius, Kendall, and Melvin were limited today. And then K1 and Dalton were full.
Just decided to take him to some room. What do you like about him and what do you
have? Known Latavius for a while now, and he is another great pro. I mean, to have two, I mean, we might have some of the biggest running backs in the league right now. Just having that guy, a guy that has done it for so long, has tons of experience, can pass pro, can catch, is something that's great for our team. And also as a person, as a leader, I'm very happy that he's here.
Do you have a chance
to play him on Thursday?
We're still working through that. You know, he just got here, so we're just going to kind of get a feel for that, and we'll see what's best for him. I just think it's about finishing the play with the ball tucked up. I mean, it's that simple. Wrist above the elbow, all that kind of stuff. You know, he just sometimes wants to get an extra yard, and sometimes that's not as important. But he is running hard. He's doing a great job. He came today with a vengeance. We had a great mental day with him, and so we're ready to go with him.
Stephon, what do you see from here?
Known Stephon since he was at Buffalo. I remember when he would sit in our quarterback rooms. I'm regretting it a little bit now, because he would sit. He studies the game. He's another humble guy. I think when you see people that are as humble as him and just want to go out there and play is something special. And I remember when he was at Buffalo, you knew what kind of player he was going to be, and he's proved that consistently throughout his career. And he's still playing at a very elite level. So they put him out there. They put him on an island a lot. And he steps up to the challenge, gone against him a bunch, been on his team. He's a very good football player.
Who will start at running back on Thursday, and what will that rotation look like?
We're still working through all that, too. You know, it's been a short week, so we've just been trying to get the game plan in, and we'll see how all that works out.
You're at the quarter pole now, essentially, of the season. Offensively, you're not where you are, but what are you seeing that gives you hope that it is going to really start to gain its footing now as you move into the second quarter?
There's been some really good explosive plays. There's been some opportunities for big runs. There's been all kinds of different stuff. I think it's just the consistency. You know, we just don't want to hurt ourselves. We want to be sure that we're continually moving the chains. We've had a good third down week, and then we've had a bad third down week. We've had a good red zone and then a bad red zone. So I think that it's about putting it all together. And not just doing one of those situations good, not just the run game, not just the pass game, but consistently doing it throughout a game. I think looking at our entire team, we haven't played our best football as a team in all three phases, you know, whether it be defense, special teams, or offense. I think that there's still so much more to improve on. All the guys are getting used to each other, and that's just something that we're going to have to continue to grow, and the best football is still ahead.
Another guy is limited for us, but he's still anticipated playing on Thursday.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for right now. We're just being smart with him.
How different are the Colts if Jonathan Taylor doesn't play?
I mean, Jonathan Taylor is a special player. I mean, he is. He's a violent runner. He hits the holes with speed. He looks for contact, but also has the speed to get down the field. So he's a very good football player. I mean, that's what I'll say there.
You talk about guys having sort of different size roles.
Albert's doing a fine job. I think every game's a little bit different. Some guys get in a little bit more than others. Last week it didn't work out for him. He didn't play as much. But this week we expect to see him out there and being able to execute.
Were you surprised by your run defense or lack thereof at various times against the Raiders?
I mean, yeah, I think first and foremost, our defense has been playing at a high level, you know, for the first three games. And I think they were doing some good things in that game. They gave us a lot of short fields. They did a lot of good. And, you know, sometimes people get you. And I think for us, it's kind of like how the offense is. Don't try to make a play. Just trust the system and know that the plays will come to you. It's the same thing with the offense is everybody wants it so bad and wants to do something special. But that will happen within the defense, within the offense and special teams.
What's your numbers would say that you guys probably will be leaning a lot more on Nick Benito now with two outside linebackers out. What have you seen from him in terms of progress through the first 4 weeks of the season? How ready do you think he is for a larger role?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be ready. It's that simple. I mean, he's a young guy, and he's played in some big games in college, and we're excited to see him get out there. He's developed every week. He's gotten better and better. He's even in practice. His practice habits have gotten better. And as any rookie, there's a process of learning how to be a pro, a process of learning throughout everything. So it's just going to get better.
What do you think of these Thursday games?
I'm glad we got one quick after this last week. So, I mean, from a coaching standpoint, I mean, it's a grind. It's definitely a grind. I know it's a grind on the players, but it's part of our profession, and it's prime time, and everybody gets to watch it, so you're always excited for that. Yeah, we haven't activated their clocks right now. We wanted to be sure we got them some practice, so obviously we can still potentially play them, but we just want to be do the right thing for them. All right, y'all.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay, that was Nathaniel Hackett live from the podium at UC Health Training Center. It usually comes pretty quick here when these coordinators start firing. So we'll bail out of whatever conversation we're having at that moment and go back to the podium.
We got coordinators today, too?
Yeah, because,
nice.
Because the short week
right.
And everything's compressed. So and we're going to hear from Russ as well. So,
okay.
But Nathaniel Hackett says that the starting running back still working through it. Trying to install a game plan.
That's what he always says. We're still working through it. Still working through it. That he says that a ton. That's probably a smart thing to say. Obviously, he's not going to tell us. Probably, right?
Is there something to be gained? Like, it's not the starting quarterback. Is there something to be gained by keeping it a secret?
Yeah, you're right. Probably not. Who cares, really? Mike Boone,
I was going to say,
Gordon,
you're not picking between Jonathan Taylor and, you know,
right.
Nick Chubb.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
But I get it. I get why he's not revealing it. Whatever.
They got to know.
They have to know, right?
All they're doing is pretty, I'm sure, just kind of walkthroughs right now. And so they have to know which direction they're heading. We're still working through it. Nah.
All right. No one is stepping up to the podium at this moment, but we are expecting to hear Russell Wilson any second, and we'll go there live coming up next. All right, let's go live. We interrupt this commercial break to go back to the podium. Here's starting quarterback Russell Wilson.
What an opportunity for us.
Are you confident you'll be able to play on Thursday?
Yeah, I'm super confident, yeah.
With somebody who spends so much time preparing every week, how much does a Thursday night game challenge you to get to where you like to be? Before a game?
Well, I think it's great. You know, I think that when you get to play these Thursday night games, you know, for me, I always try to get a lot of my film, you know, ahead of film on Mondays, you know, and when you play a Thursday night game, as soon as I get back on the plane on Sundays, I'm watching that film usually on Sunday night of the next team. So getting prepared that way, Monday all day, Tuesday all day, you know. So I think that the great thing is that every Thursday practice should feel like a game in a way. You know, throughout the regular season, you know, you want to make it that competitive, and I think we do a great job of that. Obviously, you know, you're going to play a different uniform and a great team, the Colts. I think they got a lot of great players. I mean, so many stars on their team, and so it's going to be a great matchup, and we're looking forward to it. Playing in front of our fans, what a great time that's going to be. So it's a special thing.
With a sore throwing shoulder, do you think you'll have any limitations in the game, especially since it's a Thursday night game?
No limitations. Yeah, you know, I was in the, you know, I saw Javonte when he walked in and got the news, you know, so definitely devastating for him, you know, but a guy that he's going to come back stronger, a guy that, you know, works his butt off every day, you know, just it's the name of the game, man. This game, some freak things happen, and I think a lot of times, you know, as fans don't understand how much, you know, maybe or people or just even, you know, outside look, you know, people looking in, it's, you know, how much time a guy spends to just try to be great as much as he has. I mean, I've been around some great players, and he's so dedicated to the game. So I know this is hard on him, but the great thing about him is he's got a great attitude. You know, his attitude is relentless. His attitude is tough as can be. He'll come back stronger. He'll come back better for us. We'll obviously miss him. We gotta step it up for him, you know, and do some great things. I think Melvin will be great. I think Boone will be great. I know we just signed Murray too. I got some other guys too on our team that are really good football players. So, you know, we'll be okay. But obviously, missing a guy like 3-3, you never want to miss him and lose him.
Russell, in terms of the offense, what does progress look like on Thursday night?
Winning. That's it. I mean, that's all that really matters is, I think, you know, you want to be great on third down, great in the red zone. But at the end of the day, you know, we put on the pads and cleats to win.
Russell, Matt Ryan in the same sort of situation as you, his whole career in one place, you know, with a new team this year. What has been maybe the difficult thing about the transition that you might not have expected going into it? Is there anything that sticks out?
I think here the transition's been great. I can't speak for him, but I think the transition has been great. Obviously, it's a different environment, different challenge, you know, and everything else. But I think that what's made it so great here for me personally is with my teammates. My teammates have been just so so welcoming, so on it every day. Like I said to you guys over and over again, the walkthroughs, the time, the energy, the focus that they put in daily. I mean, that obsession that they put in makes it easier for me and better for me. And you know, just got great relationships too with those guys. So it's been that's been awesome. I think that's been the best part.
You're 2-2, Russ, but you're not. You're 2-2, but the offense hasn't been consistent. The team has struggled with consistency. When does it get late early? You're about winning. Is there a point where you're like, okay, we're getting now into the second quarter of the season? Is there more urgency to that, or how do you look at it?
I think every game has a history of its own. You know, you can worry about all the things ahead. What I do know, there's a lot of teams that are 2-2. There's a lot of teams, you know, there's a handful of teams that are 3-1. And we're right in striking distance. We got them right where we want them. So we got to go get it.
Russ, what have you and your teammates done to help uplift Melvin here in the past 38 hours?
You know, just, for, you know, me personally, I talked to Melvin. I told him the truth. You know, the truth is that he's one of the best running backs to play this game. He's going to score more touchdowns than I think most guys that are playing right now. I'm not sure if he's second, third. I know he's up there, you know, top three, top four in terms of touchdowns, you know, active players. He's done an amazing job of getting in zone. I think there's, you know, one thing he's got to do, and that's just keep covering that thing up, you know, and what he was trying to in that game, the guy, he got hit pretty good. But, you know, the reality is there's I have all the confidence in the world. I'm the same with this football team. There's no blink of an eye by him. You know, I think that he cares. That's the great part about it too. He genuinely cares about this team and cares about winning, cares about being successful, and he wants to be great every day. You know, like I said to you guys, there's nobody that works harder than him. He comes out here, does extra drills, the extra work, you know, spends time here. He leaves here late. You know, he's dedicated to his craft. And that's what's made him one of the best players to play this game in this league for such a long time. What makes him such a great threat. I think the thing for him, too, is, you know, he's going to get a lot of reps. He's going to get a lot of playing time. So, you know, he's one of those guys, too, once he gets in his groove, watch out.
Do you think it would actually help his confidence to start to know he's not in competition with anybody this week?
I wouldn't look at it that way. I just think he's a great player, and you know, great players, and they make some mistakes every once in a while. Stuff happens. You got to adjust and keep moving and keep playing.
Last one, Parker Gabriel. Kid ever played handful snaps on you. So they're obviously a big player down the field. Gives you trust to put the ball in his neighborhood in that situation. And
yeah.
How much can you get offensively from?
Well, think about KJ Hamler. He's such a special athlete, such a special guy. You know, he's I had the fortunate situation of being able to sit next to him every day in meetings. You know, he literally sits right next to me, Jerry, and Cortland. Those guys sit right up in the front. It just so focused, so wired in, taking notes every day, so focused on getting better. You know, he's gone through such a tough moment last year. You know, I wasn't here for it, but just hearing about it, knowing about it, seeing him just progress every day. What a gift it is for him to play in this game. You know, we can take these moments for granted. And for him to make that great play the other night in such a key moment when we need to come back and try to win the game, which we felt like we could have won the game. We almost did. He makes that great catch, and the next play we score a touchdown. I mean, you know, so what an exciting thing for him. I think he needs to just stay focused on continuing to be great, continue to have that joy and love in the game, which he does. And he's such a great teammate. So I'm excited for him, excited about where he's going and what he has in store for the rest of his career and just the rest of the season.
Thanks, Russ.
All right, Broncos country. That's right.
There he is, Broncos country. Let's ride. When asked, what does progress look like on Thursday night? Russell simply responded, win. We'll react to that and more coming up next. We heard from Nathaniel Hackett. We heard from Russell Wilson. Justin Outen is speaking right now. If he says anything of significance, we'll be sure to pass that along. I'm a little bit curious what Idro Evero is going to say the week after his defense really took it on the chin from a run defense standpoint. 212 yards for the Raiders, not ideal. Career high for Josh Jacobs, not ideal. So I'm a little bit curious to how he handles the questions. But we did hear from Russell Wilson. He says, I'm super confident that I'll play. There's no limitations. So despite being limited on the practice report, that's precaution. He's going to play on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, you put everything down. You know, so if he goes in and says, my shoulder's just a little bit sore, it's nothing. It's fine. They're gonna put it down as limited. And just to cover their rear ends. That's what you have to do nowadays.
Yep.
But sounds like he's good to go.
That's obviously good news, kind of what we all expected. It didn't look like anything major happened to the shoulder. So good. That's good news.
He was asked, what does progress on Thursday night football look like? And his answer was very simple. Win.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it should be. I mean, that's ultimately, you know, your first, second, third, fourth goal going into a football game. Like progress, just let's win football games. You're not into a progress meter here, right? To where, you know, oh, we got to hit this benchmark. We got to hit this one the next game. We got to be here. Every game is unique. And some games you got to throw it 40 times. Some games you got to, you know, run it 40 times. Some games you got to play great defense. Some games you're not playing great defense. You got to score 40 points. Those types of games. So you just don't know what the games look like. Ultimately, you just got to do enough to win. I mean, it didn't look good against the 49ers.
Mm-mm.
It looked awful.
Yeah, very bad.
But they did enough to win.
Correct.
Right? And so that's all that really matters. All that really matters. It doesn't matter. The offense could look great, could look special. And then, but if you lose, it's all for naught.
I wonder if Russell went into this thing thinking that it was going to look and feel a type of way, going through him, that the success of the Broncos was going to be going through him. He's got the keys. He's got the offensive-minded coach. No Pete Carroll. And then it's like really, really, really hard. And it's been a bit of a wake-up call to almost like recenter him. Like, I don't care if I get the credit. I don't care, you know, forget throwing in the red zone 8 times out of, you know, 10. We just got to win football games.
Yeah, that's a, I'm sure he's looking at it differently now.
Because I'm going to look very, very bad if this is a 7-10 team. Just yeah. Win, baby.
Yeah, I think, you know, you really don't know sometimes how difficult it is, and a guy like Russ had success right away. So, and is he confident?
Yeah.
I mean, he's extremely confident, yeah. Right? I mean, which is a good thing. And you want that from your quarterback. But he's had success every step of the way. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's been easy, but he's made it look easy. And I'm sure it's felt easy to him. Now you come to a different situation, different circumstances, and it's just not quite as easy as it was when you started off in Seattle. And so you got to start looking at it a little bit differently, I think. Right?
Okay,
I mean, I think
yeah.
You need to look at yeah. It. If you're him, you're like, okay, well, you know, maybe these were my goals, but now it's just, all right, maybe I was getting a little bit too far ahead of myself.
Right, there. Right. And that's why I use the phrase like recentering. Like we've, like, you think about like his legacy and how conscious he is of that and verbalizing his goals in terms of his legacy. Your legacy is going to take a ding if you don't win here first and foremost.
Right.
Forget MVPs. Like you got to win football games. Bottom line. So I wonder if he's being recentered and it's just like, hey, first couple weeks I'm trying to get it done from the pocket because I'm trying to play 10 more years. But by week 4, it's like, dude, I got to take off. I just got to be me at all costs to win.
Well, that's what made him Russ, was his ability to move, his ability to take off, his ability to you know, move left and right and back and forward, let those receivers kind of work off schedule. That's what made his offenses so good. Don't take that away. I don't care if you want to play 10 more years. How about worry about the next 2 or 3 years?
Right.
Right? You know, you can get a little bit too far ahead of yourself trying to play too long, and you're going to hurt yourself in the now. Make sense?
Yeah.
Because you're changing the style of quarterback play. You're not a pocket passer. Not right now. Maybe in 3 years you will be. But you're not right now. You're not. And just too inaccurate. Just be you. And which is great.
Right.
All we want to see.
Right. That's right.
Just be you. Move in the pocket, make plays off schedule. I don't care. I don't care. But that's what made you Russ, and that's what we need.
Yep, and I hope that this serves as a reminder, because when he's Russ, that's why he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
My mom used to have this mug growing up. Said, be yourself. No one does it better. And when Russ is being himself, no one does it better.
There you go. I like that. That's pretty good. Are we going to go? Because I got some Hackett stuff that I want to kind of dig into.
So right now, Dwayne Stukes is talking. So, if he says something of relevance, we'll pass along. Justin Outen's already said something of relevance.
Oh.
That we're going to pass along here in just a second. But I'm curious what note that you have on Hackett.
And Dwayne Stukes, by the way, that missed extra point, we both watched it yesterday.
Yeah.
Again, that ball was laying on the ground.
Don't worry. Brandon McManus tweeted the video.
Oh, he did.
And Nate Jackson fired at him.
Oh, Nate.
Yeah. We had Twitter beef between Nate Jackson and Brandon McManus.
Where's Chicken Fingers in all of this? Kisner's on vacation.
He's in South Dakota interviewing country artists.
Oh, my goodness. And Chicken Fingers is on vacation. He's Mr. Brandon McManus kicker. And he's not even here for the drama. I didn't see this. Okay. Anywho.
Yeah. All right, we'll get back to it.
Okay. Hackett, you know, he said, you know, all the guys are getting used to each other. He said that, and it made me think, well, once again, I put that on you. We're still trying to get used to each other.
That process was supposed to be in August.
Right. And it's, you know, that kind of, for me, the spotlight goes on how you handle things. We talked about this and the possibility that it might take a little bit longer than normal because of how you handle certain things. And now he's talking about the guys getting used to each other. I didn't really like that.
It's October.
Yeah.
Right. It's October.
You're a quarter in the season.
I'm buying Halloween costumes tonight.
Sorry about that.
Yep. He wants to be Spider-Man again. Like, oh, and you were Spider-Man last year. Spider-Man. Okay.
You'll just get it. Talking about Nick Bonitto. And, I mean, you start just kind of putting the clues together. And it's like, his habit?
He said he's got to be ready.
Yeah, and he said with any rookie, there's a process of being a pro.
Ooh.
Yeah. That was the juicy part for me.
I didn't catch that.
I know you didn't. That's what I'm here for. The good stuff. Not the fluff stuff that you just read. The good stuff, right? And so, but that tells me, has he not been being a pro? I know there's a process there, but what's it look like not being a pro?
And he's never
and learning right now.
And when you're up in a microphone and the coaches, you got to.
Right. And especially Nathaniel Hackett, he's giving hugs. He's not calling guys out.
Right.
Right.
That's probably the closest thing to calling someone out as you're going to find from Hackett.
Right. So maybe it's been a wake-up call for him, his lack of playing time, all those things. And maybe he's got his stuff together and it will look better moving forward. But he's a young football player and, you know, that's just part of the process. But like the Broncos are like, hey, we need you now.
Yeah.
Second round pick, we need you. You're ready to go.
Speaking of needing someone right now, Hackett was tight-lipped about it. Justin Outen wasn't. We know what we're in store for Thursday Night Football at the running back position.
Oh.
Hang tight. It's next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.